Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping our listeners fulfill the greatest need we all have as believers, and that is to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Judges with The Missing Years. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thank you much, Bob. We have been studying the book of Judges, which we've seen is a record of the early history, the first centuries of the nation of Israel and their land. And we saw that Israel goes through this cycle during this period, which is that they turn away from the Lord and start worshiping idols. So the Lord is angry and he sends a foreign nation to make them captives and to force them to serve them. After a while of serving these foreign nations, Israel turns back to the Lord, and the Lord pities them because of the harshness of their servitude, and he sends a judge to rescue them, to fight off the foreign power, and to give Israel their independence again. And then they serve the Lord and the judge throughout his lifetime, sometimes not super faithfully, but at least they're safe throughout his lifetime. Then he dies, and they turn back to serving idols again. And so this cycle goes on through Judges. We saw it the first time. And now when we get to Judges 3 and verse 12, which is where we are this week, we see it again. Judges 3:12, it says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord." So Israel again did evil in the Lord's sight, and this is again the evil. And it refers to the worshiping of idols. So the Lord, therefore, actually strengthens their enemy. He strengthens Eglon, king of Moab, against them because of them having done this evil. Eglon means calf-like. And Moab, the nation Moab, it means from a father. Remember back in the book of Genesis, Lot's oldest daughter had a son after she got her father drunk and had a son with him, called him Moab, from a father, kind of celebrating her incest, which was sign of really how perverse a girl she was. But Moab was the nation descended from her and her son. And they were east of Israel. And Israel was enslaved to them at this time. Then in verse 13 we read, "Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of palms." So he allies with Ammon. Ammon means tribal. And remember, Lot's youngest daughter did the same thing, got him drunk the next night and had a child with him. And she called the child tribal, again celebrating her incest. And Ammon was the nation descended from her son. And Ammon was actually northeast of Israel. And they join with Moab, who was south of them, and Amalek, which was a wicked Canaanite tribe who always hated Israel. And so they defeated Israel together. Now, the city of palm trees is actually Jericho, according to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 3. So they take possession of Jericho. And then verse 14, "So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. So this results in an 18-year servitude. Now, as we've been going here, we've been having some mention of years, and I think I want to sidetrack us a bit from the record of Judges to talk about a very important issue, which is the missing years of the book of Judges. Now, if we would turn over to the New Testament and to the incident where Paul was speaking and giving a presentation of Jesus Christ in the synagogue in Pisidian Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And in his talk there, Paul gives a statement regarding the length of the period of Judges, starting in Acts chapter 13 and verse 18. When he says of the Lord, "Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness." And we recognize this fits with what we read in the book of Numbers, that Israel actually wandered in the wilderness 40 years before they entered the land. Then in verse 19, Paul says, "And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet." So here in verses 19 and 20, we have the period in the books of Joshua and Judges. And it's given as about a period of 450 years. So if we add that to the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, that's about 490 years total since they left Egypt. Then in verse 21, we read, "And afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. So we have 40 years of the reign of Saul, son of Kish. So then we have added to our 490 years, we have 530 years total since they left Egypt. Then we have verse 22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." Now Paul stops numbering here, but if we would ask how long was David's reign, we could turn over to 1 Kings 2:11 to find out, where it says, "The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. So David reigned about 40 years, and if we add that to our 530, we get 570 years total since they left Egypt. And then if we turn over to 1 Kings 6:1, we read this, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the 2nd month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." Now Solomon, we know, was David's son and reigned after David. And in the 4th year of Solomon, the 2nd month, he started to build the temple. So if we take 3 full years of Solomon's reign and add them to our 570 years, we get our total, according to Paul, of 573 years from when Israel left the land of Egypt to when Solomon built the temple. Well, that's all well and good, but wait a minute. We just read 1 Kings 6:1, and what did it say there? It says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel," that was when he began to build the house of the Lord. So 1 Kings 6:1 says it was 480 years after they went out of Egypt. But adding up Paul's numbers, it should have been 573 years after they went out of Egypt. So this is actually a 93-year difference. You take 573, subtract 480, you get a 93-year difference. And so the numbers are off between Acts 13 and 1 Kings 6. So what was the problem here? Was Paul wrong in the book of Acts, or was the author of 1 Kings wrong? Why is there this discrepancy? Is the scripture an error? Well, let's consider Paul's numbers a little more closely, because I suppose that the knee-jerk response some people would make is to say that Paul was wrong. After all, he was far removed from these actual events, 1,500 years or more later. So, of course, he would be wrong, right? But does this really make sense? Because remember, Paul had many vicious critics in the crowd. Acts 13:45 says that when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Now, if Paul had made an obvious error in fact, such as miscounting the years of Judges, wouldn't the men who were listening to him, even before they got so viciously against him, these men were experts in the Old Testament. They knew the book of Judges. They knew these numbers. Wouldn't they have called Paul on an error of 93 years in his time reckoning? But they didn't. Though later they opposed what he said about Jesus Christ and blaspheme, they never said a thing about him adding up his numbers wrong regarding the period of Judges. Well, what if we were to go back to the Old Testament and try to add up Paul's numbers ourselves and see if we get 573 years or 480 years? Well, let's do it. First of all, we'll take the Israelites' 40 years wandering in the wilderness as a given, and we'll take Saul's number and David's number as a given, and we'll just try to add up Paul's 450 years that he gave to the period of Joshua and the Judges. Now, we start this off, I think, by taking 20 years for Joshua, for them entering the land and conquering the land, and up until we get our first number in the book of Judges, we take 20 years. And this talk is already going to be pretty technical, so I'm not going to try to prove that 20 years. I'll just take it that Joshua died about 17 years after they entered the land to conquer it, and that 3 years later is when their first servitude to Mesopotamia started. So you'll just have to take my word on that 20 years. I won't go into the details as to why I think it's so. But if we take that as 20 years to start out with, then our first number in Judges 3:8 is the servitude to Mesopotamia, where it says, the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. So we add that to our 20 years for the book of Joshua, and we get 28 years total. Then our next number is Judges 3:11. After Othniel, son of Kenaz, became the judge, it says, so the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So Othniel judged for 40 years. We add that to our 28, and we now have 68 years total. Then our next number is Judges 3:14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. So we have our 68 years total. We add 18, and we get 86 years total there. Our next number is in Judges 3:30. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. Now, of course, 80 years was not just Ehud's judgeship. He didn't live that long. That was actually two judges, Ehud and Shamgar, together. But between the two of them, they both judged Israel for about 40 years or so. And so we get 80 years. So we add that to our 86, and we get 166 years total. Then our next number is in Judges 4:3. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So we have 20 years that they served Jabin, king of Canaan. So we add that 20 to 166, and we get 186 years total. Then we have Deborah and Barak judge Israel for 40 years. We have that in Judges 5:31. So the land had rest for 40 years. So we add that 40 years to our 186 years, and we get 226 years. Our next number is in Judges 6:1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. So we add the 7 years of Midian servitude to our 226, and we get 233 years total. Then Israel was judged by Gideon, and our next number is in Judges 8:28. Then Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. So we have 40 years of Gideon's judgeship. We add that to our 233, and we get 73 years total. Then we have Tola's judgeship in Judges 10:2. He judged Israel 23 years. We add 23 years to our 273, and we get 296 years total. Well, now it gets a little more difficult. We have Jair's judgeship in Judges 10:3. After him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and he judged Israel 22 years. But I think here we have a bit of a split in the history of Judges in that something is going on in the land of Gilead. Now remember, Gilead was a part of Israel east of the Jordan River, and the Jordan became kind of a boundary between them and the rest of Israel. And so for a time here, we had things going on in Gilead that weren't necessarily affecting the rest of the nations. So I don't think we add Jair's 22 years to our 296. We're still at 296. Then the same thing in Judges 10:8. From that year they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years, all the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites in Gilead. So here we have an 18 years oppression. But it was only of those who were in the land of Gilead east of the Jordan, so it didn't count for all Israel. So let's leave it at 296 years. Now this is getting a bit confusing. But next, let's look at Judges 11:26. Now, in this verse, we actually have the words of Jephthah, who is going to be the next judge. And he is speaking to these same oppressors in the land of Gilead, and he says, well, Israel dwelt in Heshbon and its villages, in Aroer and its villages, and in all the cities along the banks of the Arnon for 300 years. Why did he not recover them within that time? Now, Jephthah here claims that Israel had been in the land possessing this territory east of the Jordan for 300 years. And remember, they possessed the territory east of the Jordan immediately, pretty much at the start. I mean, they crossed Jordan and started conquering the land. So this 300 years would be from the very start of the book of Joshua. They had already conquered them when Joshua began. So if we take this 300 years as being our total in Judges up till this time. So we've jumped from our 296 up to 300. You say, that sounds like a round number, doesn't it? Well, let's take it as a real number, not a round number. And let's go from there. Well, what do we have for Jephthah's number? Judges 12:7. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died. So if we'd add 6 years to our new 300-year total, we get 306 years. Next, we have the judge Ibzan in Judges 12:9. He had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage and brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. So we add 7 to 306, and we get 313 years total. After Ibzan is the judge Elon in Judges 12:11. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years. So we add 10 years to 313, we get 323. Next, we have the judge Abdon in Judges 12:14. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. So if we add Abdon's 8 years to our 323 years total, we get 331 years total. Our next number is Judges 13:1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So if we'd add 40 to our 331, we get 371 total. Now notice that Samson isn't mentioned. Samson judged, but if we look at the record carefully, he never finished delivering Israel from the Philistines. He just sort of delivered them. So I think we have to include Samson's 20 years of judging in this 40 years of Philistine oppression, because he never really completely saved them. Well, our next judge is Eli. And he isn't actually in the book of Judges. He's in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel 4:18 says that after Eli fell off a seat backward and his neck was broken and he died, it says that he had judged Israel 40 years. So if we add Israel's 40 years to the 371, we get 411 years total. Now the next judge is Samuel. Again, we have 12 judges in the book of Judges, and we have two in the book of Samuel, 4:14. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how long Samuel judged, but 1 Samuel 7:18 says, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And we know from 1 Samuel 8 that this was until he was old. Now, we could go into more details, and I think we'd get that Samuel judged Israel about 40 years, just like Eli had, just like Saul reigned 40 years, and David reigned 40 years after him. So if we take him as being 40 years, we add it to our 411, we get 451 years total, or just about what Paul said, 450 years from the entering of the land to Saul. So I would say that Paul was exactly right, give or take a year here and there. Again, I haven't given all the details for some of my numbers, but Paul was right. It was 450 years of Judges. So there's no way it was 93 years less. So Paul's 473 years were right. Well, why then does 1 Kings 6:1 say 480 years? Was the author of 1 Kings wrong? Well, now, wait a minute. Before we judge the historian who wrote 1 Kings too harshly, let's notice what the Lord said in Judges 3:8. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them, that is Israel, into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. So the Lord actually sold his people to this foreign nation while they were serving him. So they were serving Cushan-Rishathaim, not the Lord, for this time. So for 8 years, they belonged to Cushan-Rishathaim and not to the Lord. Now let's take this 8 years and let's add it to the other years of servitude. Now we had them serve Moab in Judges 3:14 for 18 years. We add that to 8 and we get 26. We add them serve Canaan in Judges 4:3 for 20 years. We add that to 26 and we get 46. We had them serve Midian in Judges 6:1 for 7 years. Add that to 46 and we get 53 total. They served Ammon for 18 years in Judges 10:8, but remember we said that was only over Gilead on the east side of Jordan. And it didn't seem to count for all Israel. So instead of adding the 18 to 53 and getting 71, let's leave it at 53 total. Because then we have that they served the Philistines for 40 years in Judges 13:1. So if we add 40 to 53, we get 93 years total. Now notice that 93 years is the exact difference between Paul's numbers and 1 Kings 6:1's numbers. 573 minus 480 is 93 years difference. So the difference here is in the years of servitude. Now why are these years of servitude not counted in 1 Kings 6:1? Well, let's look at the book of Hosea, the prophet, chapter 1 and verse 9, where the Lord says this, "Then God said, call his name Lo Am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." See, during these 93 years, God called Israel, Lo Am I, are not his people for a time. But then Hosea 1:10 says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God." So the Lord later turns, relents, and calls them, "Am I my people again?" and no longer counts them as being not his. Now, during the time when the Lord sold his people to others, these years of servitude, I believe he called them Lo Am I, not his people. So God's clock for Israel, his prophetic clock, stopped during this time, even though, of course, the world's clock kept moving as it always does. Now, this has been called in theological circles Anno Dei time. That's from the Latin. Anno Dei means according to God. Versus Anno Mundi time. Again, Latin, meaning according to the world. So during these years of servitude, while the world's clock, Anno Mundi time, proceeded along, yet God's clock, Anno Dei time, stopped. Thus, 1 Kings 6:1 lists the time according to God's clock, according to Anno Dei time, not including the 93 years of servitude when God's clock stopped and he didn't consider them his people. But Paul, speaking in Pisidian Antioch, gives time according to the world's clock, Anno Mundi, which of course includes the 93 years, and therefore is 93 years longer. Thus, both the author of 1 Kings and Paul give the correct time according to their own method of reckoning. 1 Kings 6 leaves out the time when God didn't consider them his people, whereas Paul includes it in. So we see that this time reckoning and the fact that God's clock can stop and not be included in prophetic time is very important for reconciling these two passages. Now this becomes important today, because today God has sent his salvation-bringing gospel to all nations. Acts 28:28 says, "Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." I believe that we live in a giant, more than 950-year-long time when God's prophetic clock has stopped once again. God began a work in the gospel period through the Lord Jesus Christ to bring in the kingdom of God on earth, and he continued that through his apostles in the Acts period. However, God then stopped his prophetic clock to bring in the dispensation of grace, a time not revealed in God's other prophetic utterances, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3. So we live in a giant Anno Mundi time when God's prophetic clock has stopped. Just as Hosea 1:10 says, however, God's clock will someday start again, and he will take up where he left off to bring in his kingdom to earth, as he always promised. And at that time, he will make Israel, Ami, his people again, rather than being Lo Ami, not his people, as they are today. And when he counts all nations as being equal and joint in his sight, Ephesians 3:6. So this key is not only important to reconciling these numbers, but to understanding our time today, that Israel are not his special people, and God's prophetic clock of bringing in his kingdom has stopped. And yet it will start again, just as it always did in Judges. Well, praise God for these differences, for Judges' missing years, that teaches us such an important lesson about God and his prophetic clock, that though it's been stopped for a long time, it will take up again, and God's promises will all come true. Well, may God speed the day.
We must recognize that God reckons time differently with respect to his dealings with the nation of Israel. This 93-year difference has caused some to discredit the Bible, but it can be easily reconciled by recognizing the years when Israel is outside of God's prophetic timetable. And this includes our present day, the dispensation of grace. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the missing years. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the Book of Judges with Ehud, the Second Judge. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that you are learning that the more you study God's Word, the more you can know God. For more information on the program, for past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible Studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry at P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. Well, we always look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.